Free Fire Radio. Radio.
It's about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is March the 14th. It's 7:05. That's right, 7:05. You sleepyhead. Some of you thought, oh, what am I getting up so early for? Because you missed daylight savings time. That's right.
What do you mean it's dark out?
Hey, our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. And if you go to KCNR1460.com, you can listen to us via the streaming on our internet site. And you can also jump into the chat room, which we invite you to do. It's called the KCNR Chat Pack. I kind of like the 300, but the Chat Pack is happy whether they voted. We may have to, you know, make a run at that sometime. Anyway, we're also joined by Bad Bob.
Good morning, sir.
So, Bad Bob, how was your weekend off?
It was quite well. Can I give a piece of advice for all the people who are whining because they are having problems with their iPhone clocks? Go to Walgreens and get an alarm clock. Good grief, quit whining.
The only one's whining right here around here is you.
No, I just... people freaking out and because they'd missed this or that because their iPhone wasn't working properly. Give me a break.
Well, it's a a true thing. It's speaking of true and righteous and correct and beautiful.
We're just trying to get adjusted.
It's Linda
Bott. Good morning. On this, does my microphone sound funny?
It does. Are we on the right microphone?
I don't even. There we go. I got to tell you, it's just Monday morning, and there's all the shows that happen here Saturday and Sunday.
We have 12 great shows running during the weekend.
We're just trying to get adjusted
and everything
here.
Adjusts.
And really, it is the daylight savings time. You know, really, always an adjustment after that. So currently, 41 degrees. If you're just tuning in. And again, at 7:07 in the morning, let's see what we're looking at. Isolated showers. I like that word. Isolated. Isolated showers.
Isolated means if it doesn't rain on you.
Right. It can rain on your neighbor. 20% chance of isolated showers. And, of course, tonight, low of 48 with a 70% chance of showers. Tomorrow, we're going to have rain. Wednesday's rain. So we have a rainy week. Go ahead.
Did that heavy rain yesterday land on your house as well? I mean, we got just... afternoon.
And Carl drove our friends back to the airport, back and forth to Sacramento. You know what that must have been like in the storm. A couple shout-outs here. Saturday we were at the Italia Festa, and the Italian of the year is Pat Karch. Who would have thought?
Karcherini.
Who would have thunk?
His mother is Italian.
His mother's Italian. So he... for all the things that he does, he always choose the Italian of the year. So congratulations.
Class act.
Yes, Pat Karch. Carl and I did, we had our friends in town. Friday was a gorgeous day. Beautiful. The sun was out. Just absolutely spotless day. Saturday was a little bit on the chilly side, and we decided to grab our friend and go do the Segway tour. Two-hour tour out at the Turtle Bay, their Arboretum. It was Caldwell Park. It was over the bridge. It was cold. It was fabulous. I remember I talked about the Segway tour some time ago in the, I think it was in the summer months. So it was interesting to see it this time of year, a little chilly, but like I said, it was so great. We saw things, Carl and I saw things that we had never would see. The aquatic park.
The part about it that I loved was that you see the people in the Segways and you say to yourself, well, I mean, is this hard? Is this easy? Well, I hopped onto it, and for the first two or three seconds, I'm not sure this is going to be a lot of fun. And then it seems like, you know, then you kind of adjust your stance and your attitude, and off we went. I had a great time. I'd recommend it to anybody. To go out there and just have a good time.
I've been wanting to get you on it.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, it was well worth it. We had a great time, and just riding the Segways. It's enough to make you think about, if I had a Segway, I could ride it from the house down to here.
down the hill?
You know, you could. You go down the hill. Well, you know, you can. It's got brakes on. You kind of lean back. Yeah, everything works on gyros. And you say, well, those gyros aren't working, but they are. And then I saw the police model. the police emergency model Segway at the Sacramento Airport, and they've got three wheels, and they look pretty solid.
Really?
This guy's just whipping by. I think they can get up to 25 miles an hour.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway.
Also, a couple more shout-outs before we take a break, because we just have to start our Monday morning that way with gratitude and appreciation. You know, we've had this problem with our plumbing, so I want to give a shout-out on a Saturday afternoon, or Sunday, actually,
Sunday
Twyman
morning.
Plumbing.
No.
Twyman came out yesterday and cleared the pipes once again, and I guess the problem is down the street because somebody, you know, how they all run together. So Twyman came out and saved us once again, and so there you go. These are people who come on the weekends and are weekend warriors and help out when you really need it the most.
There you go. Hey, we've got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. When we're coming back, let's start in Japan and work our way back to Reading. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is March the 14th at 7:14 in the morning. It's going to be a little bit rainy today. Japan is just continuing to get hammered. As you know, they had that 8.9 earthquake. And not only did it just destroy parts of Japan, it looks like it's actually even changed the time. Is that right, Bob? Didn't it change it to like 1 microsecond?
1 full microsecond, which is an amazing amount.
It changed the time of the world, plus it changed the bottom of the seafloor. Opened up a chasm that was 84 miles wide by like 150 miles long. And now, they have 1,000 bodies minimum have washed up to the Japan shores. And it's gotten to the point they've run out of body bags. They have millions of people on their fourth night without electricity, food, and water. They're saying in one province there they could have 10,000 dead. So they have no idea how many people have been killed in this. And nuclear plants, as you know, one of them had an explosion. They're fearing a meltdown possibility. It has not happened. But they have some rods that may be exposed. They're pumping seawater into it. One of our warships, one of our carriers that was over there to help, one of the crews, when they came back, had a slight radiation presence on them. So they had to clean that up and everything. But so far, it has not become a problem in the sense of the too much exposure to the radiation.
If I can chime in real quick, the exposure they received was roughly equivalent to taking 4 high-altitude jet plane flights. But they say, you know, when people say exposed to radiation, yes, they receive more than normal. But the equivalence is what you would get if you were a frequent flyer on an airline. So perspective helps. Yeah, is it bad? But is it the end of the world? I don't think so.
No, but it's still and that's what I'm trying to say is that because of that, what's happened? Well, of course, one of our senators, Lieberman, has said, we need to stop this nuclear stuff. We have 104 plants. And I think some of the plants in Japan were modeled after our plants. Well, so, I mean, the fact is, Joe, that we need nuclear energy. It is the safest form of energy. There's been nobody killed from those plants over in Japan. There was nobody killed at Three Mile Island. There has been, you know, nobody killed in civilian nuclear work. How about that? What about that for a, you know, that's a pretty good safety record. And the point is, we do need nuclear plants. We need to build them. We need to build dozens, if not hundreds of them, because if we don't, we will continue to have the Middle East squash us on oil unless we have finally reached the point that we could actually drill for oil in our own country. Imagine that. Drilling in oil for oil in our own country to take the billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars we send out overseas to people that may not be friendly to us and to Hugo Chavez. And then we have to, then we get the oil back and then we get beat up by the environmentalists about it over here anyway. So why not do our own oil? And speaking of the Middle East, let's look at what's happening in Libya. Gaddafi's winning. He is getting ready to push out the rebels out of that last town that they had. He's using warplanes. He's using naval gunfire. He's using tanks. He's using artillery. They've got handheld weapons, and they may have some rocket launchers and all that. I saw something today that's kind of indicative of what's happening. The rebels are gathering their recruits. The recruits are bankers and teachers and students. You know, of course, that you know, they pull at your art strings there. But here's what's going on. They're training them to use the weapons. They're trying to train them to use weapons in a couple of days instead of a couple of months. And then they're going to send them out. They should just be more merciful and just shoot them right now. Because they're going up against a trained army that outnumbers them, outguns them tremendously. And so, you know, it's when they send them out, they don't have much of a chance. Now, everybody's saying, oh, get involved, get involved, get involved. No. You know, Clinton is meeting with the rebel leaders. And the fact is if that type of engagement, that's fine. Talk to them all you want, but let's not put military forces in there. Why do we want to do that? Why do we want to get into this mess with a military that is already strung out all over Afghanistan and Iraq, and we've got a thousand other things happening, and yet we don't have enough time to bring them home, rest them, refit them, rearm them before we have to go someplace that's serious. We've got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Morning, KCNR 1460. The chat room is open, 605-4567. How are you guys doing this morning? Wow, it's Monday. It is the Monday of, okay, time change. Where are we? How you doing? Computer's playing funky on me, and like I said, so let's
keep rocking.
Let's keep rocking.
You know what? Here's my favorite thing. California lawmakers. You know, let me just say this, and then I'll just be quiet. I will not say anything about it. California lawmakers want easier access to carry concealed weapons. Okay. Some California lawmakers want easier access to carry concealed weapons. The right to carry a concealed weapon in California is mostly reserved for those at risk of violence, jewelers, bail bondsmen, and criminal prosecutors among them. Did you get my radio voice there? You know, that's crap. It is crap. It's not that. You have the right to carry. If you have, according to the laws here, you have a right to carry a weapon. It is only the sheriff who keeps you from not having it. And our sheriff, Tom Basenko, who is a man of common sense and great integrity, realizes if you go through a background check, you go through an interview, that you have that right to carry a concealed weapon. But here, the state legislators who do their best to keep us from having it now want to have a special law. Under the new bill, being an elected state official or a member of Congress would constitute good cause. Being an elected state official, I was just getting my breath back because it's just making me crazy. Being an elected state official or a member of Congress would constitute good cause. Well, why don't you just say, under the new bill, being an elected state official who thinks these things is stupid and constitutes a good cause for him to have it. You know, this one guy says, I've had guys physically come up to me ready to punch me out, said Democratic State Senator Lou Correa. Well, came up to him ready to punch him out. Did they do it? I don't think so. Didn't say he did. Say that these legislators say their job has become too dangerous. Despite objections from some law enforcement officials, even gun rights advocates, they want a law that would make it easier for them to tote firearms.
How about not passing so many bonehead laws? I'm sorry. Does that make more sense?
Well, you know, here's the thing is that they have a right. They have a right. If their sheriffs would just get their heads out and say, you know what? You've got no criminal record. You've been, you know, you've done a background check. You have been, talked to by somebody in the sheriff's office, interviewed. Yeah, you have a right to do it. What's wrong with that? One Korea says he owns a gun but not a concealed weapons permit. People spat.
Okay, speaking of a big kiss on the
I know what.
Well.
Anyway, these
at the top of the morning, let's give a shout out to our chat pack.
Okay.
I just love it, man. It is like the coffee clutch crowd. And we love you being with us. Coming up at the 7:30 hour, we do have our arborist. We really think he is the greatest, and he's going to give you some tips on what to do, you know, get ready and all the other good stuff. I got a couple tickets here. Well, there's so much going on. You know, I'm kind of like fast-forwarding into April, but, you know, this weekend we have the Sundial Film Festival. You don't want to miss that. We have the game feed. I know, Bob, you're all excited about the game feed. That's on the 19th, but the 18th and the 19th. And also we'll have the chapel dedication.
The chapel dedication is big this weekend, of course. And Senator Johansson will be on tomorrow. We'll be talking about that. We just had the pleasure of being with him at the Festa Italiana.
That's right. It was a great night. Now, I'm holding in my hands, just because I'm going to be killing a little time here before the 7:30 time, and I'd love to give two tickets to you today, and that's for April 15th. Because I know as we get ready for April 15th, that's such an ugly day, but it can be a great day to celebrate as well. It's a new play, funny play coming out called A Bench in the Sun by Ron Clark. And I've got two tickets here for the Riverfront Playhouse, April 15th, 7:30 p.m. show. These are $17 tickets each. So the first caller here this morning at 605-4567 gets you two tickets to sit with the KCNR group here. It will be the KCNR night. And it's called A Bench in the Sun by Ron Clark, Riverfront Playhouse. First caller, 605-4567. Why not lift your day on April 15th by seeing a wonderful play at the Riverfront Playhouse, A Bench in the Sun?
Okay, we have today also Nadine Bailey's going to be here at 8 o'clock for our second segment. She's going to be talking water. You know, right now the water wars are going on, and a judge just told the Department of Fish and Game they've got to go back and change the way they do things. Well, you know, and at first blush, it sounds like, okay, that's good, because then the people that they've been harassing may have another chance. Well, it may not be quite that good, since the judge said he didn't think that the Department of Fish and Game was being tough enough. So what's going to happen after that? Well, we're going to be discussing that with Nadine. We're going to discuss how some of this even came into place with the dams on the river, with the salmon, with the irrigation, and she's got quite the background and the ability to discuss something like this.
I think this is the first time that I think really what's happening here is that we have people that are kind of, you know how you people slap their skin and they go, okay, wake up, because they're just not used to the time change. Because I just said I had two free tickets to the Riverfront Playhouse
two.
For April 15th.
Two.
So 605, I put it in the chat room too, guys. 605-4567. We just need someone to call in this morning. Are you there? Are you here?
Well, we know they're there.
Our chat room is on fire, but, you know, give us a call this morning. Let's hear some of your vocal cords.
It's Monday. It's your voice.
There we go.
The home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 7:34 on March the 14th.
Wow. It's flying by.
530-605-4567, and we're streaming at KCNR1460.com.
First day of daylight savings time.
That's right, and you can hit the chat room, and as many, many of you have, this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks at 501 East Cypress. Lumberjacks, great food, great value, breakfast specials Monday through Friday, $3.99 for a plate of ham and eggs. And $4.99 for a chicken fried steak, and $5.99 for a New York steak and eggs. You know what? Not only that, but the people there are friendly. The place is clean. It's a local place owned by locals.
Well, I hope it's clean.
Well, I mean,
the place is
clean. No. You go into places,
woo-hoo,
and you're kind of like, yeah, it looks clean there. Then over the corner, you kind of look, oh, I'm not too sure about that.
Correct.
Not at Lumberjack's. It's clean all over.
Well, it's currently 41 degrees, and before we took our break, we do have special guests in the studio. We're going to be talking about Arbor Day and all kinds of wonderful things. But before we go open up that book and that fabulous chapter coming up, let's go to the phones and go to Line
Oil
1
Bob.
Live. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Linda and Carl.
How are you?
Good. You're making me hungry with that commercial.
Well, you know what? It's run down there. Sure. Tell them you heard it on Free Fire Radio.
Good food, yeah. Plenty of food.
Support our sponsors.
Yeah, I was going to comment about the politicians wanting to carry a gun and being threatened by people punching them in the nose. And maybe if they just did the job, maybe they wouldn't have those threats.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, this is what is so hilarious to me about this whole thing, is they have the right to do it. They just have made it so difficult that wherever they live, their sheriffs are going, I'm not going to give you a right to carry a weapon, even though people in the North State have a right to do that, and people in other places have a right to do that. We're going to just make it too hard for you guys from L.A. and San Francisco and San Diego and those places. You don't really have the right. You don't have the need to carry a weapon because, well, oh, my gosh, it's just because it's too dangerous.
Yeah, well, maybe a lot of those politicians couldn't pass a background test.
Well, that could be it, too. You know, it may have to be it's your person of honor and can look at people in the eye and answer a question correctly. But here's the thing that gets me is, that, you know, to actually have this fool come out and say this, I would be ashamed if he was my representative, say, I need something special so I have the right to carry a weapon. Well, it's called the Constitution, you idiot. Take a look at it. Read it. See what it says. You know, and then say, oh, but I'm special because I'm a congressman. I'm an assemblyman. You're an American. You have the right to carry.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Sorry.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for torquing me up. Okay.
I think we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back to our special guest, which is Trenton Thompson and Marie Stradther. We're going to be talking about Arborist Day and how to get your plants and all the things that you need to pay attention to come springtime.
Don't be switching.
Which is right around the corner here. 7:37 in the morning. We'll be right back after these messages.
Beat that drum. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. This portion of the show brought to you by BNT Satellite. That's right, BNT Satellite, Dish Satellite. Don't call that 800 number. Call your local Dish Satellite guy, Doug Tooley, 244-1988. That's 244-1988. His new location is 1345 Liberty Street. That's Doug Tooley for Dish Satellite. We recommend him. We have it at the house. He does a great job.
Our special guests in the studio this morning, Trenton Thompson and Marie Stradther. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you.
We are talking about, Marie, you are with Turtle Bay.
Yes.
And you are their, what would be the title? I mean, if you have the card, here's your card. You are?
Lead gardener.
Lead gardener. It's like lead musician. I love that. And we really had a wonderful time again on the Segways this weekend, going through and seeing a lot of what's happening with what the McConnell Foundation has done, what Turtle Bay is doing with a lot of the parkways, and our beautiful North State. And so we were talking about Arborist Day is coming up. What day is that?
Arbor Day, we're celebrating it on March 19th.
Arbor Day. I want to say arborist. You guys are arborists. So Arbor Day is?
March 19th.
March 19th. And a little bit of the history of how Arbor Day was founded or started and why.
Well, originally it started in Nebraska. The first Arbor Day was April 10th in 1872. And a gentleman named J. Sterling Morton found a need to plant trees, not only orchard trees for food, but also shade trees, and just to beautify this area of Nebraska that was kind of, they didn't have a whole lot of trees there. They were trying to give away free houses to entice people to come to Nebraska. It was a new territory, and but nobody really wanted to go there because it's just kind of flat land and there was nothing really happening. So Sterling Morton decided to get people to accept these free houses and get people excited about trees. So he had the first Arbor Day, and 1 million trees were planted that day. Subsequently, after that, he planted a ton of trees on his farm, which is now where Arbor Day Foundation's headquarters are.
Fascinating. So how do you become lead gardener? I mean, just, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself and your history and how you know, this is a wonderful position to acquire. So how did that happen?
I've been in horticulture for about 19 years and had my own landscaping company. A position came up with Turtle Bay is actually for restoration. So I started doing restoration for them, and they then needed to replace their lead gardener, and they asked me, and of course I accepted. And I've been doing that for 4 years almost.
So you're in charge of what, like how many acres, what are the ground, that kind of thing?
Well, primarily there are 14 acres that make up the Center Botanical Gardens, and we're adding about another acre and a half or so to that with a restoration project that we're doing called the Willow Pond. And so I'm kind of in charge of that, and then I also work, help with the grounds and different other aspects of it.
Do you know anything about the turtle pond?
We were just going to say the turtle pond. Chad was such a great tour. I was going to say we saw turtles in the turtle pond, and it was so cool about, we're talking about the species of turtle that could be wiped out if they went with another, you know.
Yeah. Are you talking about the one that's out there?
It's got it's got the native, or the indigenous turtles there, as opposed to the red-eared skink turtles, which are working our way through. Even the red-eared skink turtles, I don't even think I want to even see a red-eared skink.
Sounds scary.
It sounds scary, and those are the ones you can buy in any store. You used to be able to buy them in every store, and you take them home, and a week later they escaped or they were dead.
Right, so. Yeah, I don't really know a whole lot about that.
Okay, that wasn't a fair question. It just it kind of struck me because you said you help take care of it. Now, Trenton.
Yes.
You all work together. Because when we were first having, and we'll tell people, you know, we had troubles with our tree out in the back, the silver maple.
The silver maple,
the
right.
Silver maple. And Marie came by first and looked at it and said, this isn't going to die, but you need help. Mm-hmm. And you referred Trenton to us. So do you all work together or just kind of as consultants to each other?
Well, I don't really have an official position at Turtle Bay.
Right.
But when people call in to Turtle Bay and ask tree questions, and Marie will field me out to them, and that's basically the relationship between me and Turtle Bay. I don't have any official recognition with them.
But yeah, but you're the tree guy, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
you came out.
I'm a tree guy, you betcha.
Yeah.
tell us how you got into that.
Trees?
Yeah.
I mean,
you didn't wake up one morning when you were four and go, trees.
Right.
Well, maybe you did.
Yeah.
Well, when I graduated from Davis, I went straight to San Francisco, and I was kind of looking around for a job, and just got lined up with another arborist, and I have a bachelor's of science, and so it was a good fit there. And basically, it started out just being something to pay the bills, and then I loved it, and it just sort of fit with my character, and I've been doing it ever since. And learning, and it's a science and an art, and so there's always something to learn, and there's always breakthroughs and new informations and coming out, and that kept me very interested too. It kept my brain rocking and rolling, you know. So.
Well, we think it's fascinating. It's just like anything else. When you have a specialist, and there's a health problem, think of equating things to your own body. That you bring a specialist in that can help figure out what it is. You may go to three or four specialists before you actually figure out how to solve the problem. And so we thank you for that. But we're going to come back. We're going to talk more about Arbor Day and what's happening on Arbor Day, how we can get involved, what it looks like. Okay, we're going to take a message. This is a message. We'll take your message in a moment. We're going to take a break. Here, Carl and Linda Bodd here on KCNR 1460. We'll be right back. Right here, KCNR 1460. Currently 41 degrees, 7:51 in the morning, and this is the 14th day of March, first day of daylight savings time. So whatcharoonie here, Carl?
This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's, the best coffee in town at the best prices, meeting rooms where you can sit down, drink that coffee with a free Wi-Fi, and, of course, the finest walk-in humidor in the state. Joe and Shelley do great things for our community. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
We are being educated this morning about Arbor Day with Trenton Thompson and Marie Strather here, and we're talking about, give us an insight of Arbor Day. What's the day that we're celebrating it? Where is it? What's going on?
Well, this year's Arbor Day is going to be next weekend on the 19th, and it's going to be from 11 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. So there's, we only have 4 hours to pack a lot of stuff in.
Where is it?
It's going to be at the Turtle Bay, the entrance of the Arboretum on the bridge side. So if you get to the bridge, you'll definitely see the celebration going on there.
Excellent. Okay, so what's happening? It's free to the public?
It's absolutely free. We're going to have some seedlings to give away, and we have four speakers with different topics. We're going to have Warren Lytle there talking about tree selection and irrigation of trees in Reading.
Excellent.
Marie is going to talk about how to plant a tree properly. I'm going to talk about how to prune a tree properly. And then we have another arborist and tree and bird expert that we're going to talk about the local birds here and how they relate and how they live in trees and how it's interdependent.
That's right? Fabulous.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And then we want the kids to come up and families to come. So there's going to be face painting. There's going to be storytelling.
Lots of projects for the kids. We're also going to have the birds from Turtle Bay's animal shows will make a presence there.
They'll be walking around with their handlers so you can get up close and,
so this
really
is free to the
out.
Public. That's this Saturday.
That's right.
From 11 to 2.
We're going to have music there. We're going to have a jug band going around. And
The jug band.
Yeah. The jug band at large, I would say.
Well, that's cool. Can you guys play in town?
The large jug band?
Well, some of us are large.
Okay, so now we're talking to, of course, Trenton Thompson and Marie Strather. You guys also have a pet project called North Valley Tree Relief.
Yes.
That's correct.
What is that? Share with us what that is, your project.
Well, about 3 years ago, Rico Montenegro, who is a local arborist as well and does a lot of fruit tree work, not only in the United States but in other countries as well, started this project. He did a lot of legwork. He originally founded it. He got taken away by a fabulous organization doing, the fruit tree planting. And so didn't have time to continue the work that he started. I learned about this organization through California Relief late last year and contacted Trenton and said, I think that this is a fabulous thing that we need to look into this. We got together with Rico and just basically, reopened those doors. We're collaborating with the City of Reading right now. Also, the McConnell Foundation, hopefully, and then Turtle Bay is very much interested in the work that we're doing.
Right. So I should say that Arbor Day, this Arbor Day, is our actual first project of getting things done. And then there's going to be subsequent projects, down the road. And we're always looking for volunteers and people who want to join, that want to make Reading a nicer and shadier place. And
not even going to be using city money, huh?
Right? No, it's all private.
It's all private,
volunteer.
It's just people wanting to do the right thing for Reading.
Exactly.
Beautifying Reading.
There are
so many
other organizations that just want to do the right thing for Reading, and I just applaud you, too.
Well, thank you.
We have a lot of people who come into the chat room here on KCNR, and a lot of those people like to walk, and they do the morning chat, and then they walk. Or they'll listen to what's happening on the radio show while they're walking. So we encourage all of you that are either listening to the chat room or on your way to your office or in and out of the shower, what people doing, whatever they're doing in while they're getting ready in the morning, to really get involved. And Saturday is a perfect opportunity to come out and meet Marie and Trenton. And the volunteers who are going to be there for the first Arbor Day. That's from 11 to 2. When you cross over the bridge, it's the Arboretum, the first place at the left, to your left. And it's going to be a festival. And it's educational as well. So great time to bring your family. It's free. Why not? Do something to help support and be there, with your energy.
Right, and we're going to have a table there, so if people are interested, to come on down and sign up, and just whatever they have to offer would be gladly accepted.
Well, we really appreciate you guys coming on and sharing your expertise and wonderful knowledge with us. It makes it a great way to start our Monday here as we do our clock change, which is Still I'm feeling it physically. I don't know about you, but
yeah, we appreciate that. And again, the part about doing things for Reading, that taking the time, getting organizing people, getting more trees planted, taking care of the ones. I mean, it's just a great thing. So
well, we appreciate you having us down here and giving us a chance to get this information out to people. And again, please come down next weekend, 11 to 2, Turtle Bay.
All right. Dave, thank you very much.
Thank you, Trenton Thompson and Marie Strather. Have a great day.
This week we're going to be talking to a lot of different people. We've got tomorrow, Senator Johannesson's going to be coming in. And we're going to be talking about the 19th.
Chapel dedication.
The chapel dedication, which is, I think, after the Arbor Day. So, and then we're going, about what it's taken to get that built. Just talking about also the fact of how the community again came together to help build this wonderful chapel, even if it's called a memorial building and not a chapel, but it's a chapel. And then on Wednesday we're going to have Sheriff Tom Basenko is going to be on. We're going to be talking the latest in law enforcement. Last week we were fortunate to have Chief Peter Hansen in. And right after the shooting, that was on Monday, and we talked a little bit about that. But also, we're going to be getting updates from Assemblyman Nielsen and Senator LaMalfa about what's going on in the budget. It should be this week. We should be hearing things. And it probably at some point I might have to bring up again about the assembly members who want a special bill so they can carry, and their constituents that live right next door to them can't because they're not a congressman. Well,
we also have two tickets for the April 15th. Performance of A Bench in the Sun at the Riverfront Playhouse. These are $17 tickets, you guys. It's going to be a fun night. KCNR is hosting tonight as well. That's April 15th. Give us a call here, 605-4567, for two tickets. And coming up at 8 o'clock, right just after Fox News, Nadine Bailey.
We're going to be talking water, dams, talking about salmon. We're going to be talking about a lot of those things, probably even that judge's ruling. And just remember, this is a KCNR night. So it'll be somebody here from KCNR be there that night for Media Night that you'll share with us. Two
April
free
15th.
Tickets. You can always scout them probably for $100 apiece when you get down there. Okay, maybe not. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 8:05 on the 14th of March. Wow. Hey, we're joined by Bad Bob and, of course, the beautiful Linda.
Good morning. And, of course, we have a very special guest, someone who I really, really admire and respect. And I've never said that to you, but from afar. But before we go and we introduce the one and only, I've got to do a couple things to just kind of remind you, currently 41 degrees if you're just tuning in. Yes, daylight savings time happened yesterday, so we're looking at, it's the 14th of March, and we're looking at it's 8:11. What time is it? 8:06. So change your clocks, you guys. 8:06 in the morning. We're looking at 41 degrees today. We're going to have about, isolated showers, about 20% chance of rains. And, of course, rain tonight, 70%. Tomorrow will be raining all day long. The weather's brought to you by Ensalmo Vineyards. We had a great night there Friday night with Rick Hill. We have a new artist performing out there this weekend, Chris Lauer. I'll tell you more about that later. And we also want to let you know that there, coming up cool April nights, you know how much our city gets behind that every single day of the week of all the events that are happening with Cool April Nights. Every day we're going to have somebody on that either has a car or somehow associated just to keep you abreast of what's going on. But we also want to let you know that for the second year in a row out in Ensalmo, there will be a very special show and shine on the 15th.
The 14th. April 14th, a Thursday, they're going to have, as they had last year, just numerous cars up there, beautiful cars.
They were sold out. They turned people away.
Which
and they
is
were
unfortunate.
Pre-sale tickets. You can buy your tickets here. That will be for that special event that's going to include a meal. There's entertainment. It is a really, and it's in the afternoon. It's a lot of fun.
It is. It's going to be a different kind of meals they offer up there. But they're also going to have the Stars of American Graffiti are back. That's right. You remember American Graffiti, probably the best cruise movie ever made. And they're going to have Bo Hopkins, Paul Amott, and Candy Clark.
And I get to interview Candy Clark, a couple interviews with Candy, actually. And I spoke with her recently out of Los Angeles. And she will be here for that event.
And we had Paul and Bo on last year. I'm sure we'll have them on this year. They're, you know, they're interesting. They've been in so many movies, so many great movies. And to have them on the show, and we'll be talking to them also. Now, let's go to the phones. Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning. How are you two today?
We're great, Elizabeth. I hope you had a great weekend. And tonight, of course, is the Tea Party meeting. What's happening?
Well, tonight we have Mr. Fred Kelly Grant. And if you are not familiar with who he is probably the nation's expert on coordination between federal, state, and local governments, and extremely knowledgeable in regard to charter cities. And he has been, he was brought to the North State on Friday from some folks up in Siskiyou County who are having issues with some of the state agencies regarding their water rights. And these are folks that are in agriculture in the Scott Valley. So they raised the funds to bring Mr. Grant to their area so that he can advise them legally and help them set up a plan to fight this attempt to take away their water rights. So he's extremely valuable. This man is unbelievable. And so he has remained in the North State and will be returning, I believe, tomorrow morning. We met with him yesterday. We're meeting again with him this afternoon with some of our elected officials, and then he will be at the Reading Tea Party meeting tonight. And so if anybody wants to find out anything about charter cities versus general law cities, anything having to do with coordination between the state and federal agencies and the local agencies, this is the time to do it. This man is truly unbelievable.
Well, you know, we're going to have a number of people talking about charter cities, both pro and con, here in the next
yes.
couple of weeks. I think it's only fair if we're going to talk about one side as to talk about the other. Again, as people know, I'm not sure if charter city is the way to go. But I have an open mind. I hope I have an open mind that I can listen to both sides.
I think you do, Carl.
Well, you know, hey, you know, I try to. I mean, there's things that twinge me a little bit, but
I'm actually kind of surprised. It's a lovely surprise because, you know, Carl, some people think, you know, he's military and he's very staid, but you know, Carl is he's been around the world and he really it's nice. It's refreshing to see that he does have an open mind.
Well, and I think that can be seen just because of the nature of your radio station. And if you look at the advertisers and if you look at the variety of shows that you have, clearly you are representing every viewpoint.
Well, we try to.
It's really obvious.
Well, this is our community, you know, and, you know, Doug Bennett of the ACLU, he feels comfortable coming on. They all, you know, we try to give everybody a fair shake. That's the big thing.
Absolutely.
And if that's... And not to embarrass people, not to put them down, because, you know, frankly, there's no need to do that. There's always an openness. There's always a civility. We always try to do it that way.
Yeah, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. So anyway, so tonight, 6 o'clock at 2570 South Bonneview Road, and that's kind of catty corner across the street from the Wind River Mini Mart. And another just bit of information for folks, we have an extensive video and audio library now of all of the programs that we've had, both on the radio show and at our meetings. We have a wonderful videographer that does a fabulous job on our media page. There's so much information there, and it goes back for months. So if people just go to readingteaparty.com, click on the radio link, that will take them to our media page.
Well, you know, the... I know you have an extensive extensive video library, like you said, and
yes.
Every Sunday morning from 8 to 10, We the People, right here on
Absolutely.
KCNR.
KCNR.
And we enjoy that, and it's we enjoy all of our program. Anyway, Elizabeth?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. We'll see you later.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
We'll talk soon.
You bet.
Bye.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, our guest is
Nadine Bailey.
And she's got maybe a different way of looking at this water question, and that's why we bring all viewpoints on here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bott, 8:15 in the morning on March 14th. 530-605-4567. We're streaming and chatting at KCNR1460.com. It's more fun than people should be
you
allowed
to have. You
have
to be rhythmical in life.
That's right. I
Even if you're not, try to be.
That's right. Hey, look, this portion of the show is brought to you by VNT Satellite. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. Don't call that 800 number. That's not a local guy. Call 244-1988. He's located at 1345 Liberty Street. He puts in Dish Satellite. He does a great job. When you call that 244-1988 number, you're going to get Heather or Doug. They guarantee their work. They're quick. They're professional. And they're local. Our guest today, Nadine Bailey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the program.
Well, we love having Nadine here because she can speak on a number of different subjects. She is associated with, she's worked on many political campaigns. She is with the Sierra Cascade Logging Conference, which she plays a big part in that. She also gave me my copy of Atlas Shrugged that she used to have, which I almost finished with that. It's been a year.
I went to go return it, and I realized that you had a bookmark, and there was probably about an inch left.
An inch left. Okay. Well, out of 4 inches of book, that's not bad. I'm in the part where she's there with all the others that have run away to start their own utopia, which I find is kind of a strange way of putting it. But Nadine is also, as we started talking, she and I started talking about this water, what was going on with the water up in Scott Valley, and she just gave me about a 15-minute lecture on the background of all this, and I said, you know what, people need to hear this. We're talking about today in the Record Searchlight, an editorial talking about, hey, people think that the government slapped down the fishing game, not so fast. What they did was they said these things have to be redefined, but you're not being tough enough on these guys in Scott Valley and on this. I personally have, and this is my viewpoint, is that, water rights, personal property rights, they're tied together. But this question goes way back. So good morning, Nadine.
Good morning.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Where did it start?
Well, it started basically when Grant's soldiers came to the Klamath and saw that the Yurok tribe was...
That's U.S. Grant. That's back in the 1800s.
Yeah. And saw that the Yurok tribe had fishing rights that went back thousands of years, and they traded them and sold them and used them like property. They had commercial fisheries already then, and they were a thriving fisheries that benefited the whole community. And so Grant deeded them their fishing rights as property. So that's where they gained a tremendous amount of standing in all the debates on the Klamath River. And it's difficult because this is a watershed that's 10.5 million acres. That's as big as Rhode Island, Vermont, three or four states in the eastern United States, and the logistics to get from point A to point B, you're talking about, 12 counties, 2 states, just 4 congressional districts.
And this is one watershed.
This is one watershed.
What is the definition of a watershed?
A watershed is the area that is in reach of all that water, all the tributaries. So where I'm trying to think the end of the watershed is when the water from Mount Shasta goes into two watersheds, there's a break. Part of it falls and goes into the Sacramento, and then part of it falls on the other side and goes into the Klamath. So those are two distinct watersheds. It's easy to see a watershed in the west because they're smaller, but think about the Mississippi River is a watershed.
Well, that covers all those states and all those areas.
Yeah, so when
it feeds into it.
Yeah, so when I was back there working on TMDLs, it was almost mind-boggling to think of the people in Minnesota where you... One day I was in Minnesota in Brainerd, where you could jump over the Mississippi River And then I flew that night to New Orleans, where it, you know, went on for miles, and that's one watershed. But the impact of what happens in Minnesota also has an impact in the water in the south. And so that's what TM, total maximum daily loads, a federal regulation, is deciding what the toxicity and the sediment can be in all of our streams. So that's TMDL.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. Our guest, Nadine Bailey, we're talking about the water question right here at home. And there's been, you know, we've got congressmen, we've got senators in it, we've got the Fish and Game Department, we've got the feds, we've got it all in here. And we're going to talk a little bit more about where this, where the question came from, what brought it on, and maybe even possible
and
solutions.
And what's the question?
Join us after these messages.
CNR 1460, currently 41 degrees. That's right. I hope you have 1460 tagged into your car. Also, our website, of course, and it, the chat room is a-flying here at KCNR1460.com.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Lumberjacks at 501 East Cypress, and they've got a seniors menu that is second to none. You've got to be 55 or older, but you get two dinners for $12. That's right, and it's anywhere from pot roast to chicken breast to ground round to grilled sole. Great food, great place. They're local. They're owned by neighbors of ours in Reading, not personal neighbors, but locals here in Reading, and we strongly, strongly recommend them. We've been there, eaten there several times, and the food is just great, and the service is even better. Our guest, Nadine Bailey, and we're talking watersheds. We're talking about what's going on up the north. And when we're talking about Scott Valley, that people are into it, and they're into it in the sense of taking, wanting to protect people who have those water rights, who have had these water rights for decades, if not for a century. And yet there's more to this, there's more to this than just that. And Nadine is playing our devil's advocate here and is talking why this should be reformed.
Well, and let me, my philosophy comes from hearing R.J. Smith from the Competitive Enterprise Institute almost 20 years ago giving a speech about what perfect property rights are. Property rights that protect all property. So I feel like the Yuroks have private property rights. They have rights to those fish. Well, if the fish don't have water and they don't have clean water to swim in, they're losing their property rights too. And that's what the government felt, that their adjudicated water, they won that court case, gave them standing in this debate over the Klamath. So when we talk about property rights, we have to remember that the property rights just aren't those of the people in Siskiyou County. They're the property rights of the commercial fishermen on the Klamath. Crescent City went from 600 boats down to 60 when all of this started. So what about those property rights? Upriver, in the original dam compact, it says that fish passage must occur. That was the promise made to all the Indian tribes when they built the dams, that fish passage would occur. So when we have this debate, dams in or dams out, that's really not the case. The argument is whether or not fish passage will occur, and it will, it has to. The Clinton administration wrote a letter, followed by a letter from the Bush administration. Everyone would like to say this is Obama's mess, but it's not. It goes back to the first Bush administration when the Endangered Species Act started triggering some of these things. So right now, the Klamath Basin does not have endangered coho because they can't get up there. But the minute that the coho are put into the system again, then all of those Klamath farmers are at risk for the same thing that's happening on the Scott and the Shasta.
Are coho natural, though? Or are they,
yes,
have they just been introduced?
No, coho is a native. Native. In fact, there
to
were...
To the Klamath.
To the Klamath.
What about to the Sac?
Yes. Coho is a native fish to the West Coast.
Okay, so upward in Scott Valley, all that's, they're all native fish.
Well, some of them are hatchery fish. Remember, that was the solution, is they put the hatchery in. And that is causing some problems as well, because now there's a parasite that is infecting all of those Klamath River fish, and they think it has about a 90% mortality. So in addition to losing a big chunk of habitat to spawn in with the dams, and we're also dealing with this parasite that's happening as well. So there are a bunch of triggers. There's change in ocean currents. There's the parasite that's got a huge mortality rate of both natural and hatchery fish. And the fact that there are some things that are going to happen. Fish passage has to occur. Pacific Corps was told by the Bush administration, you either put the fish in or we're going to shut you down.
Now, Pacific Corps is the ones that run the dams,
they
right?
own the dams.
Own the dams.
They are the private property
and they
owners.
Use their, and they do electricity.
They do electricity.
Right.
And so these are not dams for irrigation. These are dams to have
for hydropower.
And that's a huge debate. But everybody talks about, oh, the cost of it taking them out. Well, the cost of putting fish ladders in has some cost, too.
Okay, and so if they don't do that, because they've been told to do it now by three administrations in a row, is this correct?
Yes.
And if they can't because of the cost?
Well, they're saying it's cheaper for them to remove the dam than to put the fish ladders in. It's basically they sat down and ran the numbers, and to get fish up there it was so costly that they decided that taking out the dams was the solution that they wanted to go with.
And what's happened with that?
Well,
we got like 30 seconds here.
That's a long story.
Okay, so we'll do that after the break. Yeah. So essentially, they can either cut off the power, which raises the cost of electricity, or they can find a way to get the salmon upstream.
Yeah, and the salmon upstream is going to trigger the Endangered Species Act for the whole Klamath Basin.
Carl and Linda Bott, this just gets better and better, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay, we've got some messages here, some news, and when we come back, we're going to continue talking about this. This is a lot.
And a question out of the chat room.
What? Tougher than we thought. KCNR 1460, the home. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:34 on March the 14th. Good morning. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Great haircuts, great prices. They give discounts for veterans. That's right, discounts for veterans. Their haircuts, they're not styling their haircuts. And it's man's last stronghold, my friends. Man's last stronghold. That Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Go in there and say hello.
It's currently 41 degrees here on March 14th. And our guest is Nadine Bailey. You know what? I love the fact that when you come on the air, and even when you come in to the station, you always are just so rich with information. This morning is a very moving topic.
That's right. You know, we're talking the water. And so, I mean, we have the potential here, while people are arguing about losing water here, water there, if the dams are taken down, people could lose their land completely once the fish get upstream. Or, even worse, while we're arguing, we could lose another complete run of salmon.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't... The fish passage will occur, as what the Bush administration told Pacific Corps. So they have to get fish up into that other upper Klamath Basin. So what the settlement agreement did was say, all right, if those fish get there, we kind of have a safe harbor to continue farming as long as we're progressing with this watershed restoration to save these fish. And some people say, well, there's no problem with the fish. Well, there is. On one run is down to 27 fish this year. And so that run of fish into one of the tributaries of, I believe it's the Shasta River, probably will be lost. So,
well, the Shasta River is the one they pull a lot of the irrigation.
Yes, they do, but those people have also done some tremendous things to keep fish from dying. They have done extensive watershed and habitat restoration to make sure that fish don't die in the Shasta River, and they've done a lot of things to enhance habitat. They did a cooperative agreement, and people don't know this. Last year, there was a lot of fish coming up, but there wasn't enough water. So all the irrigators got together, and they put more water into the creek so that the fish could get up the creek. And they got this award from Fish and Game about what a great thing they did.
This is the same group that the Fish and Game is coming now down to. Now I'm wanting them to assign away their rights so that if they're going to pull water out of there, it's going to cost money.
Well,
they have to have permission.
They have to have a permit, and that's right. That's a change.
That's
and
the fight.
That's the fight. But the reality is we have some laws that are very stringent, and we've been fighting them for 20 years. And one of the things that I learned during the forest wars, as I was sitting at the table with President Clinton, I turned to my neighbor, who was Nat Bingham, and he said, you know, you and I could probably find some solutions. Nat was a commercial fisherman down out of San Francisco. And I said, you know what? I think we could. If we sat down and figured out some things we could do, and at what was born out of that was a farms, forest, and fishermen group that's still active today that's done extensive habitat restoration and educating people about what it takes to have habitat for fish. Because we talk about the economics. Fish are money. Fish have little dollar bills. Salmon that swim up, ask somebody at the local fishing store what the millions of dollars the salmon industry brings into Northern California. Crescent City Harbor, the Klamath River, when I was living over there in my early 20s, you couldn't find a parking spot along the Klamath River because there were fishermen parked there. That the runs of fish were huge. And it was an economic stimulator to the local communities. This is one of the only ways we're going to get money back into these communities. And there are solutions to these fisheries issues without everybody just going back and going to court.
And what's a couple of the solutions then?
Well, I think that the settlement agreement that the Yurok's and the Klamath Water Users Association, while it does have dam removal in it, I think that people need to look at that and logically and scientifically study that and see if that's the best thing. And if you look at that agreement, what it does is say, we're going to study this. We're going to see what's the best for the fish and for the environment and for the economy. So that's one. But there are groups of people like Klamath Common Ground Group put together this fishery study on the parasite, and which has a high mortality, and they came up with some solutions to get different fish into different places and maybe do some habitat restoration and fish planting with native fish, not hatchery fish, which gives you a genetic diversity that's able to fight some of these parasitic diseases. And this isn't new. Alaska's been doing this for decades.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Jeff, good morning. You have a question?
Yeah, good morning, everybody. I did want to ask Ms. Bailey, years ago when I was younger, I used to go over to Dad's camp on the mouth of the Klamath, and I observed the fishermen having a little conflict with the Indian groups that were gill netting on the mouth of the Klamath. I was just curious how much impact the gill netting has on the Indians, because when those fish hit that gill net, it's done. And I've seen them take hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fish, but, I mean, doesn't that have some sort of impact? And they're legally okay to do that.
Well, and they've been doing it for thousands of years. And, yes, it does have an impact, but also that same group, if you'll get onto their website, spends millions of dollars in habitat restoration and has probably some of the best fishing data for caring for those runs than anybody in the United States. So you have to look at the whole picture. Fish for the Yurok is their world. You talk about taking away our paycheck, that's what it means to take away the Yurok's fish. My husband and I lived on the Klamath River for years. Our kids were born in Hoopaw, and it's a different world. I mean, we're tied to NASCAR and golf. They're tied to fish. It's a different world. They dry it. They smoke it. It's traded. It's still a part. It's who they are. It would be like me losing my ability to have a garden. It's difficult to explain.
I think Jeff, and we got to take a break here. I think Jeff's asking, though, is it unrestricted gill fishing?
No,
or gill net fishing?
No, they have seasons and days. They are told just like the rest of the world how many they can take, when they can take it. They have windows as well, although their catch is significantly more than the it's not commercial, it's sport. So there is a panel that dictates how many fish get taken by the gills, how many get taken by sport fishing, and it's still very controversial. You know, Mark Twain, whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting, so are fish.
That's right. Okay, hey, Jeff, thanks a lot for the phone call.
Okay.
Carl and Linda Bott, we got to take a break here. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning, 8:45 in the morning on March the 14th. Carl and Linda Bott are here, and we're brought to you in this segment by Tobacco and Brew at 2143 Hilltop Drive. I so enjoy walking in there and getting a cup of coffee from Espresso Joe's and the girls there that know how to fix my favorite cup of coffee. And then over to the humidor, they have a variety of just excellent, excellent cigars there. And they put them in different grab bags, you know, sometimes, so you can get a great deal on it. They've got my favorites. And if I want to sit down in the room they have there, kind of a public room with Wi-Fi, and have a cup of coffee and just sit there and read what's on my computer. It's there. It's all there. Joe and Shelley do a lot for our community. They support the veterans. They support our community in about 1,000 different ways. Go down there to Tobacco and Brew at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Our guest, Nadine Bailey, and, you know, this question is just so huge to try and get your arms around it that everybody in their own way is correct. The one thing that's going to happen, though, is there's probably going to be 3 dams taken down at some time. Is that correct?
Well, that's the plan. But in order to do that, they've got to go through the environmental studies and all of that. Let's look at Battle Creek down here. Everybody agreed, environmentalists, industry, PG&E, to take Battle Creek dams out. That was in 1993. They're still not out, and they've spent $20 million, and they want another 70. So
maybe not, huh?
I tell everybody on all sides, don't put the fish in the dam removal basket, because we're going to lose runs while everybody puts everything into the dam removal. And there are other solutions while we go through that process.
Right. Now, the other thing that can happen also is that if the fish, they truck the fish up, makes it into the Scott River, up into the valley up there. If that happens, then we can kind of count on lawsuits starting?
Well, they're already in the Scott and the Shasta, because the dams are up above that. So, yeah, the original dam compacts told the Karuk and the Yurok tribes that fish passage would not be interrupted, that fish passage would occur. That was the basis for the original lawsuit. So somewhere along the line, fish passage will happen, and that's going to trigger massive, massive changes to the Klamath Basin.
And what's going to happen is that water is going to be diverted from farming, probably, and agriculture and ranching to the fish.
To the fish, because they'll have to, and it's the threat of you might have a coho there. So
even if you don't have a coho, so they're going to do that. And then when that happens, that essentially shuts down the agriculture.
Right. And so I think for the ag community, they've done the right thing. I was with the Klamath Water Users Association the other day, and they were talking about how strange it felt to be sitting down with environmental groups and working on fish stuff. But I think they've done the right thing. We fought for 20 years over the resources of the Northwest. And at some point, I think the solutions are when the communities come together and say, get out of our way, federal government. We're going to solve this problem. Because a lot of times the federal government is the problem, and their solution is lock it up, tear it down, you know, put it off limits, and we'll just preserve it. Well, that kills our communities. So I think the Klamath Water Users and the Yuroks and the Karuks did the right thing.
Okay, so, one of the chat room is moving so fast. Squatter fish on the salmon and, well?
Squaw.
Okay, why did I say squatter? Okay.
Anyway, so, the squaw fish.
Yeah, because I can't read my own writing. It's going so fast. Squaw fish on the salmon in the Sacta River Basin. Somebody wants to know about that.
Well, I'm not a fisheries biologist. My suggestion is the Karuk fisheries biologist, Craig Tucker, has a great study on where the runs are now, and anybody that wants that stuff, I can send them. I have literally files and files about parasites that are affecting every species that's in trouble, every fisheries that is on the upswing. And that's the thing I want to mention. On the Scott River, the ag community and the forestry community has done restoration that actually shows their numbers of coho coming up. So we can do this if we work together. And that's what Nat Bingham said a long time ago.
Okay, we got to take a quick break here. Our guest, Nadine Bailey, we're talking fish, the impact on the fish on up in Siskiyou County and up on the rivers, the impact on the the Native Americans here, that what happens when the runs start slowing down or even disappearing if we can't find some way of getting the salmon upriver. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio.
No, I won't back down.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 605-4567. Our phone numbers, it's 8:54 on the 14th of March.
Currently 41 degrees. We're expecting isolated showers today with a high of a 60. Let's go to the phones. Ron, of course, our guest is Nadine Bailey. Do you have a question for our guest? And good morning.
Yes, good morning. Do you take account that the Japanese and the Russian fishing trawlers out there with those big, I guess they call it drag nets, and when they take fish, they take absolutely everything? And also, do those coho salmon get clear up to the Scott, or will they get clear up to the Scott Valley if their dams are taken out? I mean, even farther than clear to the headwaters. And that's my question. I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks, Ron.
Well, the dams are above the Scott River, so the coho already get into the Scott and the Shasta. That's why the Scott and the Shasta have had to do so much watershed restoration, and they've done a great job. The Scott Valley RC&D has a wonderful website that outlines all their fisheries restoration and the numbers of fish that have come back because of the restoration. Great, great job for the Scott and Shasta. They work hard. Not only are they great ranchers and good stewards of the soil, they're good stewards of the water as well. They're wonderful people. And what was the other question?
The first question was about the Japanese
And the Russians.
Floating cities with the Russians and the Japanese that destroy so many fish.
Everything in their nets.
Well, and that in lies the problem. I had it explained to me about hatchery fish versus wild. When a fish in the hatchery goes out to the ocean, where if they're a hatchery fish, they all go to the same point in the ocean. If I'm born on the Trinity River as a fish in the Hayfork Creek watershed and the Big Creek watershed, I go to a specific part out in the ocean that mimics that. So the ocean becomes a mirror of the watershed out in the ocean. And so that makes them less easy to catch, and that's been one of the problems. They map these big runs of hatchery fish, and they just go get them. I don't know why we brought our limit in. I think it should go out.
You're talking about our offshore limit of what we control.
Yeah.
I think it's 3 miles or 12 miles.
Yeah,
and what we need to do is push it out to 50 miles.
Yeah, and it used to
be. Other countries do that.
It used to be that, and I think that's something that really has to be talked about. You can't just talk about dams. You can't just talk about water quality. You've got to talk about the whole river. But again, it's a big river with lots of governing agencies, and people don't get paid on solutions. They get paid on controversy.
So, and once the government, as you pointed out, if the government has controversy all around it, the government stops.
They stop, and they keep getting a paycheck.
And they don't have to solve anything. And so what happens is then you end up the government not doing anything.
That's right.
And then, but something has to be done. So
what do we do at this point? How can we learn more, be activists? Beyond this program,
get on these websites. The Shasta Valley RC&D has a website. The Crooks have a website. Do some reading and some research. The Klamath water users, these are people that they do this every day for hundreds and hundreds of hours, and they're the experts, not me. I just love I love that whole river basin. I love the people that live there. You have to really want to live on the Klamath River because you can't get there from here. It's just it's a hard life, and
It is. And, you know, we're in the middle of fights up there. And the part is, I just, you know, people who would lose water rights over this, and then they're going to lose their ranches. They're going to lose their farms. And somebody's going to swoop in there and buy it using government funds. So there you go.
Hey, can I say hi, happy birthday to my sister in Afghanistan?
You sure can.
Oh, wow. Indeed, really?
Yeah, yeah. She's. I'm not going to say how old she is, but she's a nurse in Afghanistan, and she's going to be there for another 3 months. So.
You tell her she can listen to the show on the. Well, she could have been listening to it right now. I know the hours are strange, but she can listen to it in our archives.
Yeah,
happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, and we're proud of you out there.
Yeah, Gail's great, and what a.
She's a hero. She's in the service. Which branch?
Army. She's an Army nurse.
Well, then we're as proud as we could be anyway, but now we're even prouder. So thank you for your service. And thank you, Nadine. It's always good to have you here. You're always an expert when you're talking on this. I mean, you're always so knowledgeable.
Well, I don't know that much. I just read a lot, so.
Yeah, that's my excuse.
Okay, now, tomorrow we're going to have Senator Johannesson's going to be on. We're going to be talking about, of course, this Saturday with the dedication
to the chapel.
That's right, the chapel dedication out at IGO, and everybody should, if you can, be able to attend that. We've got Sheriff Tom Pasinko later on this week. We've got a full week this week.
Currently 42 degrees. You've been listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?